The biggest mistake is talking about them. Where do I find them? Right? Rather than, am I ready for them? Right? Am I prepared for something real? Do I know what I want? Do I know who I am?
Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation.
Today I'm interviewing Roy Biancalana, a 62-year-old white guy who was once a TV analyst from Florida. Now, I know you're probably not sure where this is going, and at the time I wasn't either. Usually when someone mentions a man from Florida, you're expecting it to be like those a man from Alberta today stories, but bigger, crazier, and Americaner. In this case, I'm now interviewing a Chicago-based relationship coach of 15 years who self-describes as having made every relationship mistake a cis heterosexual man can make. This episode, we'll get to know each other a little bit better and talk about accountability and find out that, you know, this 62-year-old that was once from Florida is actually not that bad of a guy. Enjoy. Welcome, everyone, to Intimate Interactions. I'm here with Roy Biancalana, a author of the book Relationship Bootcamp, a podcast host of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, and a relationship coach for 15 years. Welcome, Roy. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Victor. Good to be here.
Awesome. So do you want to tell us how it is that you got started in this line of work as a relationship coach?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. It's being a relationship coach was never anything I sort of set out to do. It was never really a dream of mine. You know, it sort of came up from behind me and grabbed me. And that's because, you know, I was married for 19 years. Mm-hmm. And that relationship really devolved into a kind of a co-parenting functional relationship, but we lost any sense of our man-woman connection, husband-wife connection. We just were kind of going through the motions, raising a son and doing that kind of thing. And I don't think that was very satisfying for my wife. I know it wasn't for me. And so I initiated a divorce. And that was my first mistake. And we may talk about a number of relationship mistakes that we can make in our pursuit of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I often joke with my clients, and it's really not a joke. It's just right. Sort of funny that if you do everything the opposite of what I've done in my love life, then you're going to be just fine. Cause I've made every mistake you could possibly make. And the first one was going through a divorce and not stopping to do some work on myself, mm-hmm. not doing any introspection, any reflection. I just immediately rebounded into another relationship. And of course, it was the dead opposite. So this one was like all sex. Now, at the time, that was nice for me because it had been so long, right? But we were together for about 2.5 years. We were actually engaged to be married, and she broke up with me about 6 months before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And that one, Victor, destroyed me, right? That I really believe I had what was like a year-long midlife crisis. Wow. I mean, I was a mess. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. I had heart palpitations. I had obsessive thinking. I was a lousy father. My career suffered. I was just a mess. So here comes mistake number two. In all that pain, I still didn't stop and maybe do some work on myself and some reflection. Mm-hmm. I didn't at the time know any other way to deal with the pain I was in other than to get on about 4 different dating sites. And I was just going to find a new woman to help me forget about the last one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you can imagine the amount of drama that I caused women I was meeting online, because even though I sort of thought that I was emotionally available, right, that I was actually able to connect with someone. Mm-hmm. Now that I look back, I was actually using some of these women just to help me kind of forget about the last one. So I really wasn't present for them. I really wasn't available to connect in any significant way. And so I just created one drama situation after another. Mm-hmm. And it was right about then that a friend of mine, you know, suggested Roy, maybe you need to talk to someone, right? And at the time, it's so hilarious now when I look back, I didn't even know what he was talking about. Like, what do you mean? Because really, at that moment in my life, and this is really something that I would love the listeners to see if they can relate to this. I thought that my love life sucked because I just hadn't met the right woman yet. Mm-hmm. Right? I was convinced, oh, it's my ex-wife and oh, my ex-fiance and oh, you crazy women online.
Right.
It never occurred to me that I was the common denominator in all these pictures. Okay. That's sure. how big my freaking ego is. Right. It never really occurred to me that maybe I had some blind spots or some childhood conditioning that was showing up mm-hmm. in the way I related with women, that I had some limiting beliefs, that mm-hmm. I had some junk that was attracting these dynamics and creating these relationships that were about divorce and being dumped and all kinds of drama. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, I think I decided to work with a coach only because I think I had tried everything else. It was almost like, what the hell? I guess so. I mean, right. And then when I sat down with my coach, I think the first thing she said to me was something to the effect of, Roy, I don't want to hear about these women.
Right.
I don't want to hear what your ex-wife did and your ex-fiance and all these women online. I want to know if you want to put a mirror up in front of your face and look at yourself.
Right.
You want to do that, something extraordinary can happen. If you want to do the other stuff, then find yourself a different coach because that won't go anywhere. And I think I was in so much pain that I was willing to do that. And what's funny is as I did look at myself and finally do some introspection, lo and behold, it was me. It really wasn't always other women. I mean, yes, these women I was with, they had their own issues, of course. But I really did discover that I had blind spots and relationship persona issues and mommy issues and these different things that were sort of unconsciously playing themselves out in mm-hmm. the dynamics and the patterns and the problems that I was experiencing in my love life. So as I began to work on those things, Victor, and had so many of these aha moments that were both horrifying to realize what I was doing to create the drama, mm-hmm. but also exhilarating to know that, well, I could change these things, right? I can deal with these things. Now that I know kind of what's been going on behind the scenes of my own awareness and how I've been sabotaging myself, I felt like I could change these things. And that's what happened. The work I did with my coach led me, you know, relatively quickly to be able to meet and date and fall in love with an amazing woman. I've been with her now going on 15 years.
Amazing.
Okay. So, right. So I became a coach. Here's the best way I can say it. Because I want to do for other people what my coach did for me. Because I came out of this thing like Lucy in the Chronicles of Narnia, right? She wanders into the wardrobe closet. She finds Narnia. And then she has to go back to her friends and say, you got to come see what I found here, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel kind of like Lucy. Like I want to go back to other people and say, oh, my God, you have got to come see what I found. Because the change in my love life was not because I got lucky. It wasn't because the God smiled on me. It wasn't any of that. It was I did a transferable process. I asked certain questions. I looked in certain places in my life. I did a certain kind of work that other people can do. Mm-hmm. So I tell my clients, if you do the same things I did, you can have the same results I got. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm a coach. I'm looking for people who are like I was, kind of maybe at rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Like I've tried everything else. And maybe it's not that I've chosen the wrong men or the wrong women. Maybe mm-hmm. there's some things I don't know about myself. Mm-hmm. Like maybe there's a Wizard of Oz inside of me that's behind the curtain, right? Pulling the levers, turning the knobs. You don't even know it. But the wizard is responsible for everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm looking for people who want to have that kind of conversation because that's when amazing things can happen.
That's really exciting. That's a fantastic origin story.
Thank you. Yeah. So, well, it wasn't fantastic at the time, but it is now.
I often say with personal development, like very similar to what you said, like you wouldn't do the work on, you know, your shadow work. You wouldn't do your childhood stuff. You wouldn't do that if you had any other choice. Like people come to that work because they really feel like they don't have any other choice and they have to do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people that study change as a sociology, psychology thing, there's two ways to change. You're either you see something that inspires you, oh, I want to go do that, or you're in so much pain that you feel like I've got no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how most of us is, right? The classic person who smokes his entire life, has a heart attack, almost dies. Well, I guess now I should quit smoking, right? Because I'm going to die. Unless you're like my father who didn't quit and then, you know, well, never mind. It's another story for another day. But you're right. I mean, pain can really be a portal to profound personal growth and mm-hmm. awakening. Mm-hmm. If you do it right. I was doing it wrong. I was looking for a new woman. You know, yeah. I found the wrong woman. Let's find a better woman. You know, so my pain was leading me in all kinds of wrong directions until I started to want to look in the mirror a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And that is really typical of like masculine conditioning for boys, right? A lot of boys yeah. grow up through their teen years being yeah. told that, you know, you need to find a woman who is going to yeah. do all this work to help you work on yourself. Like,
yeah. And women along those lines, I thought you were going to say men are less inclined to want to look at themselves, because that might be true.
Sure.
Might be a little general, but I find it to be true, certainly in my life.
Sure.
But what you just said is what I call the you complete me mindset.
Mm.
It's this mindset that if I find the right person, right, they're going to complete me. They're going to make me whole.
Right.
And you listen to any, watch a romantic comedy.
Right.
Or a magazine, or, you know, listen to music.
Sure.
Etta James song, At Last, My Love Has Come Along.
Yeah.
When All My Lonely Nights Are Gone, right? These are the messages. All of our Disney movies for kids,
for sure. Yeah.
It's charming, right? All this stuff communicates that you got to find the right person to be happy. And that sets us on this path of trying to, you know, it makes us make a big list of the qualities we want. Right. I mean, it gets into all the law of attraction stuff, which we can sure. maybe touch on at some point, because that stuff can, believe it or not, the law of attraction can ruin your love life. Maybe we'll circle back to that. But you're right. That mentality of got to find my soulmate.
Right. Right?
The one that coming from that's a perspective that leads to trouble.
I agree. Yeah. I meant more just in general that, you know, men often don't go to their men friends. They don't go to talk about their relationship necessarily. They don't go to talk about doing their work with their masculine friends. A lot of the time they save their most intimate conversations for their quote unquote one and only.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely true for various partners. 'Cause I'm also not monogamous. So
yeah,
it gives you the opportunity to amplify the joy and all the problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something about us men that, maybe I'm projecting here. When you open up to an intimate partner and you're starting to kind of quote be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can be a sly way of trying to get attention and affection out of them,
mm-hmm.
right? It can be manipulative in a little way,
sure,
in ways, because a lot of times our intimate partners are longing for us to open up and to connect from the heart. But we don't do that with maybe our guy friends because, well, we're not trying to sleep with them, you know, or.
Yeah.
You know, they're maybe going to look at us like a little weird maybe, but there's a lot of different directions we can go with these conversations.
For sure. Yeah. I don't necessarily identify as a man these days, but I did for the vast majority of certainly in up until about my mid-20s, I very much did. And I definitely pursued, you know, I did a lot of my emotional labor with my femme presenting partners and friends.
Right.
It was very much a mistake that I made.
Sure. Yeah, it's all part of our journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. So that's such rich conversation. I've really been enjoying it. Do you have, just on the topic of mistakes before we sort of move on to mm-hmm. the next session, I'm really curious, do you have any other big mistakes or sort of gotchas that you see?
Yeah. People sometimes ask me, you know, Roy, all the years you've been working with people that, you know, are on the pursuit of intimacy, is there one general mistake that people make? And there really is. And mm-hmm. and this doesn't really matter what gender you might identify with. Mm-hmm. And this is like mm-hmm. a human thing.
Yeah.
Right. And the way I would describe it, I'll use kind of a metaphor. Okay. So let me take a minute to set this up. Imagine that somebody listening wants to do very well in a triathlon. Okay, they want to compete in a triathlon. They want to do very well. Mm-hmm. And imagine that I'm a former Ironman champion, which I'm God, no, I'm not. Right. But sure. Imagine I'm like a former champion, but now I'm a coach and I work with aspiring triathletes sure. to help them be successful because I've done that and I've got something to share. Okay. So this aspiring triathlete sits down with me and we start having a conversation, and the questions they start asking me are all about what I would call race day, right? They want to know how to survive in the water in the beginning and how to transition to the bike and then the bike to the marathon. And you're out there all day. So what do you eat? How much do you eat? You know, all these kind of questions, which are important questions, right? Race day strategy are important questions. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting here as a coach and I'm like, you're not asking me about the stuff that you really should be asking me about. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be asking me about, how do I get in shape for this? Right? How do I train for this? Because even if you've got the best strategy in the world, if you get on that starting line and you're 50 pounds overweight, you're not going anywhere. You'll never go the distance, right? This is the mistake people make in their love lives. They come to someone like me or a dating coach or whatever, and they start asking race day questions, meaning where do I go to meet the person that I would fit with? And how do I approach them, or how do they approach me? What do I say? How do I flirt? What online platform should I use? What picture should I use? How should I write my profile, right? These are important issues. But as a relationship coach, I'm saying this is not what you should be asking me about here.
Right.
You should be asking me, how do I get in shape so that when I meet this person, I can go the distance?
Right.
Right, because there is a starting line in any relationship. At some point, you meet face to face. However it happens, right?
Sure.
I met my wife I sat down next to her in a personal growth conference. I just sat next to her. That's how we met. You can meet online. You can meet in an airport. God knows where you meet someone. But there's that moment when you're on the starting line. If you get there and you still have your baggage and you still don't handle emotions very well, maybe you're not a good communicator, right? So maybe you're just, quote, not in good shape, relationally speaking, then even if you meet a wonderful person, you're going to sabotage it. You're going to bring your stuff and you're going to mess this relationship up. So it's the biggest mistake is talking about them. Where do I find them? Right. Rather than, am I ready for them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I prepared for something real? Do I know what I want? Do I know who I am? You know, have I let go of my baggage? And so this is where it leads into, you know, my book that you mentioned. Appreciate that. I've written 3 books, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know.
But my latest book is called Relationship Bootcamp, right? So I'm using this fitness metaphor to try to talk about relationship dynamics to try and make it a little bit more interesting, because it can get pretty dry and clinical to talk about relationship stuff. And I like to kind of be interesting as possible. So this book is called Relationship Bootcamp, Hardcore Training for Life, Love, and the Pursuit of Intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so in the book, there's 7 sections. And what I'm addressing is what I call the 7 relationship muscles that we have, like 7 areas of our lives that need to be strong. These are areas of our lives that we need to be conscious in and have done some work on if we want to be ready for something real. Because that's really what I discovered, you know, through my work is I was really relationally out of shape. And it was showing up with the way I was handling conflict with women, my own feelings, their feelings, the way I communicated. I mean, I communicated from fear rather than from trust, right? So I just kept bringing my junk to these relationships. And I kept thinking, well, I just haven't found the right woman yet. No, it's I'm still the same guy going with a new woman, and it's Groundhog Day. I think I've coined a phrase, relationship Groundhog Day syndrome.
Love it.
Like, you remember the movie where Bill Murray keeps going the same day, right? So it's kind of like I go from one woman to another, and it's like the same dynamics, the same, what I call the same patterns, the same problems, the same pain over and over and over again. And that's not because of the women. It's because I'm the same person and I'm just bringing my stuff and recreating it. And then this is why, in terms of marriages, right? The divorce rate, I think, for first-time marrieds around 44%, 44 to 50, depending on who you ask.
Sure.
The second marriage divorce rate is higher. It's like 70%. Now, why is that? Because people are like me. They just go find another relationship.
Right.
And they think it was, well, I just got to find a better husband or a better partner or a better wife or what. No.
Right.
It's you. No, right. Not to shame myself or shame anybody else, but
sure.
No, it's you're bringing your stuff and then you're redoing it again and it's going to fall apart at a greater rate.
Yep.
So at some point, we have to look at that and be brave enough to say, maybe I'm not God's gift to relationships. You know, maybe I've got some issues that I need to address. So that's the biggest mistake. It's where do I find them, Roy? Where do I find them? It's like, that's not the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's what about you? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those questions have easy Googleable answers. It's the hard questions that you can't Google. That's what you want to talk about with your coach.
That's a really good point. Right. If you can Google and find the answer, it probably isn't the right question. I'm going to use that. Thank you. That
You're
was
very
brilliant. If you can Google and find the answer, you're not asking the right question, because the right questions, I mean, Google had no information for me on my relationship to my mother and how that was playing itself out with women, right? Five-year-old Roy was 45-year-old Roy. The same thing was going on, and it was a disaster, right? We can go there if you want to, but yeah, I'm going to use that. That's brilliant.
I'm glad you like it. Well, that's all we have time for in our first session, but thank you so much, Roy. I really am enjoying our conversation, and thank you for being on the session of Intimate Interactions.
Yeah, thank you.
So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/IntimateVictor or tweet me at IntimateVictor or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at IntimateVictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/VictorSalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is On Hold For You, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.